Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 190, recorded on October 18th, 2013. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. Is it warmer there than it is here? Probably. It's 48 degrees here.
I was in your region last week, and it was nice and warm.
Right, and so, by the way, I just want to point out that if anybody's near me, this is just a general call, and they don't, like, let me know that they're near me, you're on my shit list.
I was a little busy. I couldn't have probably gotten away.
Well, at least you let me know.
I was in St. Louis.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's pretty far. I guess I could have hopped in a plane.
You know. I was closer than I was when I was in San Diego, but...
This is true.
Yeah.
But you did let me know when you were at O'Hare, and I would have totally gone to the airport Chili's with you. Because
well, you see, that's love. Then we'd have to go out and go back through security. It's all that stupid TSA crud.
Can you actually go into an airport through security without a ticket anymore? I don't think you
cannot.
Can. Yeah, so I would have to buy a ticket to just get a Chili's.
Or we would have to go out. Is there not any outside security?
No, not at O'Hare, unfortunately.
Yeah, we were supposed to have a two-hour layover, but all our flights were delayed. Let me just say, American Airlines sucks.
Really?
I hope they're listening.
I've been enjoying American Airlines lately.
I've never had good luck with American Airlines.
Oh.
Every single one of my flights was delayed, and they actually caused us to miss our connecting flight in LA, and I had to wait in LA for like 3 hours.
That sucks.
And literally the plane was on the runway, but they had closed the doors, so they wouldn't let us on. There were like 8 of us all from on the same flight from San Diego.
And they knew that you guys were on the way.
Yeah, and they even told us they were going to call ahead and have them hold the plane because we were literally like it was still we were there 8 minutes before the flight was even supposed to take off. But nope.
I would just like to take this opportunity to say that no one should ever use Expedia. I've had a very bad experience with them. I had some tickets that I bought last year. And I used to use them all the time. I use Kayak now. But I bought some tickets through them last year. And they said, hey, you know, you can cancel these. And I did. I canceled them. And they said that you can reuse these tickets. You can repurchase tickets up to a year after. But there's going to be a $100 penalty. And, you know, cool, whatever. So then this year I went to go and use them. And, it was a huge, huge debacle, and I ended up making it rain with like $300.
Oh. Ouch.
Making it rain toward Expedia. I didn't even get like a fancy dance out of it.
Yeah, so they got exactly what they wanted.
Yeah, they did.
It's your money.
Well, you know, they wore me down. It's like psychological warfare. I spent maybe like 8 hours total on the phone with them over the course of several days, and I mean, I wasn't giving up lightly, but so don't use Expedia. Use Kayak. It's much nicer.
Yeah. And I think I've successfully derailed you from introducing Jeff.
Yeah. Jeff's here too. Jeff Gannon from the Mac Observer. Everybody knows Jeff because you're on like all the podcasts now, aren't you?
Pretty much. This is actually the third show I've done today.
He's not joking.
Do you write anymore? Or are you just podcasting?
I do. Actually, I finished writing one article while I was starting one show. So I was multitasking. I was podcasting and writing at the same time.
That's impressive. So moving on to actual iPhone stuff, and we have a real thing from Apple to talk about, which is the invites for the October 22nd media event. And those went out. And they're fancy. They're multicolored. They have little, I guess, apple leaves. Looks very fall.
Fall leaves, yeah.
Yeah. It says, we still have a lot to cover. So I guess they're going to be shooting. I would like it if they had like some kind of leaf cannon on the stage and they covered all the audience.
yep. blow out like little leaf confetti mm-hmm. on everyone.
Yeah, we have a lot to cover. You.
No, I already explained this. That means new smart covers.
Oh, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. A whole event for smart covers.
Yep.
Yeah.
No iPads.
I think that's it.
What'd you think? We had iPads here? Get out of here. Yeah, so, and you know what? The rumors about this event kind of point to a lot of stuff, kind of in the same way that they did it last year, right? It's sort of wrapping up into a giant pile of new stuff. So we're thinking...
I call it Apple vomit. It's product vomit.
Yeah.
Product palooza.
And it's multicolored, too. So you got the iPad, the new iPad 5 are we at now, right? iPad 5.
Well, iPad with Retina display, fifth generation.
Right. So, and that's going to be inspired by the iPad mini design. So we're going to have the thinner bezels and it's going to be flatter and lighter and all that stuff. That's what we're hoping for.
And magical.
More magicker. Magicker.
Is it going to be three colors?
Three colors.
Space gray, silver, and gold.
I think
gold.
So. I would imagine
at least
so.
Space gray and silver. But that's a lot of surface space to put gold on.
Well, it's not real gold.
Why no? But it's a lot of space to put that much gold color on.
So okay. Well, it's a lot of space to put that.
It's at least
space
dye
gray
made from
color.
Unicorn tears.
That's true.
Yeah. And then we're also looking for we're crossing our fingers for the iPad mini with Retina display. It's still will they won't they?
If they either better not announce an iPad mini or they better have a Retina display. Those are the only two options.
I agree.
I would be
if
very
they try
surprised.
On off and here's a new iPad mini with the same old display that the press is in.
That's not going to fly.
Wall Street's going to have a field day. You want to really hear people calling that, you know, Apple is dead and can't innovate. There you go. Do that.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that though. I would be very surprised.
No, I think they're going to have a Retina mini. The heavier rumor now seems to be that they'll have a Retina mini, but you just won't be able to buy one basically because they'll be like three.
Yeah, that's better than anything else, I think.
Like the three lucky guys that get their pre-orders and we sold the first five we have. There'll be more next year.
next year.
No, I don't think that's going to happen either. I think it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Like anything with any new release, everything's going to be in short supply, but it's mainly just because Apple can't produce them fast enough or what the demand's going to be like, especially, just the timing of the whole thing being right before the holidays, anything they put out, Golden Turd, they could sell a lot of those.
Yeah, especially if it has like Wi-Fi and USB 3 built in.
Yep.
So in addition to that stuff, we're also expecting a Mavericks release, very likely. I would also imagine that we're going to see either an announcement of the next iOS update or in time for the actual release of the new products, or we might even see the new iOS update come out then and very likely come.
You're talking about like a point release?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, iOS 8, right? No, I'm talking about the it would probably have iCloud Keychain, right? Because we're getting Mavericks. You got to think we're going to have our iCloud Keychain by now.
You would think. And from what I'm hearing, iCloud Keychain is functioning in the current developer version of Mavericks.
Okay, so that's a good sign.
Do you think Mavericks will be on sale on Tuesday?
That would be kind of fun.
I mean, because there's nothing to hold the Apple back from. There's no reason to delay selling it if it's ready to go, right? I mean, it's not like they got to get boxes out to retail stores they could put it on sale whenever they want. They don't even really have to do like any of that pre-order, mumbo jumbo. I don't remember what they did when they gave the release date for Mountain Lion.
You know, I'm thinking they'll probably do the release either on Tuesday or Wednesday. But I don't remember what they did with Mountain Lion.
I don't remember either.
Isn't it weird how I can never remember, like, it's just weird. You get the build up to these releases, right? And I always remember the build up, like, takes forever for the announcement day to come, and then you sort of like Apple, you know, tells us everything about the product, and you know, we verify all the rumors have come true and blah blah blah. And I don't know if I'm just so exhausted by that point, but then the next year rolls around and I can't remember, you know, what they said at that event. Like, it goes in, I get overloaded, and then my mind just like flushes everything else.
Yeah,
that's about right. There's so much that we're all doing leading up to these big launches, that, and then it's a whirlwind of chaos as the launch happens. And then as soon as it's done, we all turn our backs and walk away from it. And that's it. It's just gone.
Yeah. So I just can't. I have to always look this stuff up, and I never think to before we get into these conversations. But yeah, I seem to remember that I don't think they did put it on sale the same day they had the announcement. They probably waited till that Friday. Apple seems to like to do stuff on Fridays in terms of launches.
I vaguely remember it coming out after the announcement, and it was like a couple days later.
Yeah.
And I might be creating a false memory there, but yeah, it was like a couple days after the big event. That's when we got it, because everyone had enough warning that we could all be sitting there at our computers clicking refresh to see if it was available in the App Store.
Yeah. So I don't know, 8 a.m. Friday, the 25th or something like that?
Something like that.
Maybe midnight. I don't remember.
Yeah. I just don't think they'll probably do it on the day they release it, because they're still trying to deal with the influx of traffic to their site in general for the announcements.
For the announcements, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So Mac Pro also, we're expecting to see MacBook Pro possibly. I'm thinking we're going to see some new iLife apps, at least on iOS.
At least new icons.
At least new icons.
At the very least, new icons, yes. So there have
those
been
icons
some...
are hideous if those are really real.
Oh, I really like them.
Oh, I think they're ugly.
I think they're ugly as well.
I think they fit in very well, and I think they're good. So there you go. Two to one. I guess I lose. But yeah, so there have been some new icons, GarageBand.
We all lose.
Yeah, that's true. GarageBand and iPhoto. We've seen some icons surface in, I believe, the settings app. If you dig in there into iCloud settings, some people have found them. I didn't see them in there. So I don't know if
in the web version or the
on iOS.
On iOS.
Yeah.
I didn't even go looking.
Yeah. But you know, I would really like to see some new iLife, or honestly, I would like to see new iWork too. But I can definitely see them taking this announcement as an opportunity to update all of the Apple iOS apps like Remote and iPhoto and GarageBand and iMovie and all those other apps.
Will they update the UI, you think?
Yeah, I do.
So, speaking of UIs, I noticed something a couple days ago that caught me by surprise. With as much effort as Apple has been putting into removing skeuomorphic elements from their iOS applications, Why did they leave a textured paper background in the Notes app?
Oh, I actually kind of like that.
Well, I like it too, but
I think Reminders has the same thing.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I just find it interesting that they've pulled so much out and yet they left that paper texture in on those apps.
Still kind of gives it that almost letterpress look.
Right.
And you remember what a big deal when Apple came out with cards for iPhoto? Oh, what a big deal Steve Jobs made about the whole Oh, yeah, and you got these beautiful letterpress cards. I have to wonder, when I saw that texture in there and sort of saw how it looked, I'm guessing maybe just Johnny is a big fan of like the letterpress style coming from, you know, the designers love that whole letterpress look.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he just didn't want to let that one go. And it's subtle enough where, you know, I don't think it detracts. But I see your point. But and I noticed the same thing, but I just think, you know, it looks nice. I like it.
Yeah, I'm totally okay with it being there. It's just when I noticed it, my first thought was, wow.
They didn't kill everything. I mean, you still got subtle shadows here and there. I mean, there's a little bit of stuff.
Right.
You know, and I think a lot of people have made that point is like some have even argued that this is in some ways more skeuomorphic than the skeuomorphic stuff. Which is an interesting argument to make. But because the layering and the more 3D kind of stuff with the parallax error and stuff like that.
Yeah, and you can, even in Passbook.
Or parallax effect. I said parallax error. Parallax effect.
Oh, parallax error. Yeah, but even in Passbook, you look at the cards and those are still, like, especially for airline tickets, those look like ticket stubs.
That's true.
They have the little scalped edge and stuff. Or the little notch.
Yeah, they have the little notch on the sides, but they don't have the little tear marks, the little perforations.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that was fun. I just took us down a little rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm. So, did you guys see this video? You know, we were talking about the... the people who figured out how to get around Touch ID by taking a super high res scan of a fingerprint and doing a bunch of stuff to reproduce it and fool Touch ID. Well, there was another demonstration. I think it was a different group that did this, and they demonstrated how they could lift a print from the screen and actually use that for Touch ID. And alone, that's not so great, but in combination with the fact that you can, if you have Control Center on and the ability to access it from the lock screen, people can totally pwn you if they have the right tools.
Meaning?
Did you see the video?
No.
Okay, so essentially the way it goes down, and Jeff, maybe you saw it and can back me up and help with details, but the way it goes down is you're using your phone out on the street and someone just grabs it from your hand or what have you, and they run off with it. And so you're thinking, okay, no big, I will just remotely lock it, or I will remotely wipe it. Like, let's say you're security minded and you want to just wipe it because you're concerned about your stuff. Well, as soon as they get it, they just swipe up and turn on airplane mode, and ta-da, now they can't. Now you can't remote do anything with it. And the next,
whoops.
Yeah, the next thing that they can do is yoink the fingerprint off of the touchscreen. And this is very, the 5C or the 5S is the most susceptible to this stuff because, on one hand, the passcode is something you have only a certain number of tries to get and that whole deal. But with the Touch ID, it's 48 hours. Is that correct? You have?
No, you only get two chances at that, by the way.
Okay, but there's a time period where if you don't unlock your phone with Touch ID, it will require the passcode.
Then it forces you to the passcode. But again, if you fail, so if I use Touch ID and it fails, and then I use Touch ID with that same finger again and it fails, that then requires it won't accept another registration of that finger. It goes right to passcode lock.
Interesting. Right. Well, okay. So in the video,
get a couple attempts.
So it is fairly secure, but there's also a threshold.
Sorry. The other thing I need to point out is there's also a threshold. If you keep trying different fingers, eventually it goes to a disabled mode.
Mm.
And there's a timeout period. George Starcher discovered this and we talked about it a little bit. And so you have to, the first time it goes disabled for like a minute, and then it goes up sequentially from there. So the next time, if you try a bunch of times and keep failing, then it goes to two minutes. I guess this is with the with the, this must be with the passcode lock, because I think George had forgotten his passcode. And then it just keeps locking you out for longer and longer periods of time, the more attempts you try to make. So it won't let you brute force, basically, at it. I mean, there's security measures in there to stop brute force kinds of hacking attempts. So you better hope that if you do lift a fingerprint and you do the, go through that whole process,
you do
that
it right,
it works.
Yeah. So picking up from there, they lift the fingerprint, assuming there's a good print on there, and
right.
then they use that to create a replica and open up the phone. And the next thing they do is you have all your email accounts plugged into there. They say, "Hey, iCloud, I totally forgot my password. Send me a reset." And they have access to all your email accounts. And they can, from there, pretty easily, with the way most people probably have their stuff set up, where they have most of their email accounts linked to their iPhone, they can just get access to just about all of your email accounts, and then in turn, essentially get access to whatever other accounts you have access to as well. And the part where they get iCloud to send a reset notification does actually require them to turn airplane mode off so it can get that email on the phone. But what right. happens is the email will come in before it gets the indication to erase a phone. So they can turn it on real quick, wait for the notification, turn off all the radios again, and continue on with their thing.
Okay.
All bogus.
This is
bullshit,
all a big
though.
Yeah. Thank you. That's exactly what I was about to say. This is a giant bucket of crap. Okay. So discounting everything that Apple has put in place to help protect people from having someone else spoof their fingerprints. Okay. You have to get the iPhone and have it in your possession. Now you've just changed the game anyhow. It doesn't matter if they have your fingerprint. Getting a good print off of an iPhone is not as easy as people are making this sound. Because, you know, it sounds like, oh, you take the iPhone, you lift a print, and now you make a duplicate, and now you can get into the iPhone. Okay, the reality is, look at your iPhone right now.
Right.
And tell me how many pristine prints you have on the surface. Of those prints, how many are prints that are associated with a finger that's attached to the Touch ID sensor? Now, let's say that you get lucky and you have a beautiful print that you can lift, and it happens to be one that's attached to Touch ID. Lifting a print is not a simple process.
And give the reason why you know about that.
Because I have lifted many prints over the years.
Because I
was a cop for a long time. And lifting a quality print, it takes time and effort. And then once you've got this print, now you have to do the scanning and you have to have all this other stuff so that you can create as perfect a duplicate as possible. This is not trivial stuff. I mean, the amount of effort someone would have to go through to actually get that print, be lucky enough to get the right print, and have everything just line up perfectly so that they could create a duplicate of your print within that 48-hour window. They might as well grab the phone, grab you, punch you in the face a few times until you unlock the iPhone, and then run with it. That's a much more likely scenario. And I'm not condoning hitting people or stealing iPhones, but I think that's a much more likely scenario than someone taking your phone and trying to go through the whole lifting the prints and all that stuff. The whole let's do it CSI style, no, that's a giant bucket of crap.
Well, and I'm full agreement with you on that one. Michael, of all that stuff you described, the only thing that concerns me is the control center access that's turn
the
off the Wi-Fi.
Right.
And the biggest bummer for me about that is now I'm going to go in and turn Control Center and the lock screen off. But Apple has effed up the media controls now that you have Control Center. Because I have several times where I'll be listening to a podcast or I'll be listening to music, and double tapping the home button doesn't bring up or doesn't display the media controls for whatever reason. And I'm forced to go in and use Control Center for that.
You know, when I when something's playing on my iPhone and I'm at the lock screen is by default that double-clicked state of iOS 6 where it shows the controls.
Yeah, but it seems inconsistent.
It seems to work all the time.
I don't know what triggers it. I'll have the controls disappear on me.
Are you saying if you're not listening to the show currently? If you're not listening to a podcast?
I think if you pause it after a certain length of time, if you don't come back to it, it just goes back. I don't know what the trigger is. I just know that several times I'll be listening to something. I'll have stopped to get gas or something like that. I'll get back in the car and bring up the screen and the controls aren't there. Or I run into the store and I come back. I don't know what causes them to go away, but I often find that I have to go to Control Center. And so now I'm going to be bummed that I have to turn it off. Because that was my workaround, to not have to unlock the phone. But that's fine. I mean, Touch ID works pretty quickly, so getting back won't be that big of a hassle. But Apple should, you know, that just says to me, good feedback for Apple is saying, let us control what is in, you know, what's displayed in Control Center so that I can disable. I don't need to enable and disable my Wi-Fi or Bluetooth all that frequently. I know people clamored for that. I never quite understood that feature. You know, everybody wanted quick access to those toggles.
I use it all the time.
But I mean, I'd be happy to unlock my phone to get quick access to those toggles. I mean, it's literally touch the Touch ID and then swipe up. Right? I mean, it takes a millisecond longer.
This is true, but I don't have Touch ID and many other people don't.
Right, but we're only talking, I mean, this problem is only on phones with, I guess not. It's not only on phones with Touch ID. It's really a bigger problem, I guess, than for people who don't have Touch ID.
Well, that's an upsell point for Apple. If you want full security on your iPhone, buy a 5S.
I've now had to disable Siri from the lock screen. I now have to disable Control Center from the lock screen.
Why'd you disable Siri from the lock screen?
Because Siri will divulge all kinds of cool personal information from the lock screen. If you,
what's my address?
Yes.
Oh, really?
What's what's my spouse's name? What are my children's names? What's my phone number?
What's
my home
birthday?
Phone number? When's my birthday?
What's my social security number?
Yeah, didn't we cover?
Where's my bank?
When I found out about this,
it was
written up.
Michael was probably drunk.
I was probably drunk. Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah.
It's a huge,
and things like your birthday could be used for like real world hacking. You know?
Yeah.
Like calling up your credit card company. Well, what's your birthday?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know that. What's your home zip code? Oh, I know that. So if someone steals your wallet and your iPhone, guess what?
Yeah, you're done.
They can buy gas.
Yes, they can.
They can buy gas. They can.
Oh, they'll have your zip code and your,
criminals, you know, should really listen to this podcast. They could really get a lot of useful information for stealing identities from this podcast.
Yep.
Luckily, everyone that listens to this show is honest.
They are.
So, but the cool thing again with the 5S, it's not a problem because to use Siri, you have to press and hold the home button, mm-hmm. which scans your finger and still lets you use Siri without unlocking your phone. So if the phone is locked and you press and hold to access Siri, it will scan your finger first, then let you use Siri, and the phone remains locked.
Actually unlocked at that point.
No, it's actually not.
Is there an extra setting? Because I'm pretty sure when I use Siri like that, my iPhone is unlocked.
Oh.
No, because I've exited. Oh, maybe it's because do you have your phone set to go to lock immediately? Maybe that's the key for me.
I do.
Huh. I don't know. It seems like after I've used Siri, if I press the sleep wake button again, it's locked.
Oh, well then, yes, that's correct. That's exactly what would happen. If you don't hit the sleep wake button, it takes you just to the home screen.
Oh, like if I tap the home button again?
Yes.
But I think only because it scanned my finger at that point, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's unlocking your iPhone by scanning your finger.
Gotcha. Yeah. But the point is someone's not going to be able to press and hold the button and then activate Siri and then get into my phone. Yeah, right. However, it's not an extra. I guess what I'm saying is I don't have to do any extra step It's not like I have to press and hold, it unlocks, and then I have to press and hold again to activate Siri. It all happens in the same motion that I would have accessing Siri from the lock screen anyway. So it really made no difference from a functional perspective whether that toggle is on or off on a phone, on a 5S. Does that make sense?
That totally makes sense.
You know what's fun? When you're on the lock screen, you can make the stuff bounce. It's like mm-hmm. you throw the notification center down harder, it bounces. But you know what's really cool with the...
You do the photo thing.
The photo thing, yeah. You bounce it down, it goes back up, and the photo is open. You can take a photo that way. I was doing that while you guys were talking about your iPhone 5S thing. I was bouncing those things.
It's like a game.
Yeah, when I get bored, I just bounce stuff on my phone. So yeah, okay, so we have a lot more actually to talk about before we get... Yeah, we do. I send you show notes, but you guys don't read them, as we've covered many times on the show.
It's a joke.
But before we get into that, we have a new sponsor to talk about this week, and they're sponsoring all month of We Have Communicators. I actually almost said iPhone Alley Podcast, but that's the previous name of the show.
Old school.
Old school, old yeah. School. So connected data with Transporter, and these guys actually talked to me, I think all three of us, last year about this thing, and it seemed like a really cool idea back then. And they finally sent me one earlier this year. So if you don't know what it is, it's from the guys who created Drobo. So if you're familiar with Drobo, you'll understand the direction they took with this thing. So whereas Drobo is a box and you put a hard drive into it and you can connect them all together, Transporter does the cloud thing with your hard drive. So you get the empty case, and it's a pretty tiny little case, and it only fits one hard drive, but that's all you need. And that is the $199 model. But actually, if you use the special code, the WHC50 code, you get $50 off, which is a killer deal, actually. $50 off. $150 normally $200. So you get the little container, and it looks really cool. I love it. It has a nice little glowing blue light. And you put a laptop-sized drive into this, and it's completely toolless. So you can do it without any Philips drivers or anything. And then you plug the USB into your computer. Actually, know what? The USB is for the wireless adapter. So you can actually do this wirelessly, or you can plug a network cable, which it comes with, into your router. And what that does is, magically, you have a hard drive that is a cloud drive that can be accessed anywhere on your personal network, but it also communicates with the connected data servers, which then sort of does the handshake across the networks for you, no matter if you're at home or at the office or in a different part of the country or the world. It will then link you up to that drive. So you can very easily get access to all that stuff on the drive. And it does a lot more than that. So it's, like I said, it lets you get access to it on the road, but you can also share data between computers and other devices. So they have an iOS app that I'll talk about in a minute that lets you also access that stuff. You can share the data with others. So you can invite entire folders, invite people to see entire folders. You can also invite them to distinct files. Sorry, I need a cough button. And you can also sync files with others. So you can do the Dropbox sync thing. So if two people have a Transporter, so I have one and Adam has one, and I think we have a couple folders that we sync across. Yeah.
And so it syncs up.
It does. And you don't have to have your computer on to do that. So the benefit for that is if one person doesn't have the Transporter at one end, it does work, but you have to stream it from that Transporter. And when you have two of them in the loop, then they're cached on either end, but then you can collaborate on them and it syncs across that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it has basically both options. So you can directly access those files on the Transporter. But if you're sharing with a person on another computer, they can also set it up where it syncs up those files as well. It just does it to a folder on their hard drive rather than like in my case, since I have a transporter and you have a transporter, it's directly from transporter to transporter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going right from your device to my device and staying in sync. The key to the transporter is nothing ever goes into the cloud. So there's never any third-party server that you're dealing with. You're dealing directly with your own files, and they're only in the places where you want them to be, either on your transporter or on the drives of the people that you're sharing with. So there's no third-party server involved. So even though, like you described, Michael, they do that handshake, right? That's all it is. It's just connecting transporter to transporter or shared folder on someone's hard drive to your transporter. There's never anything up in the cloud, but you still have cloud access to all of your files
exactly
on your transporter.
Yeah, that's why they call it a personal cloud, because it's your own server essentially that you have total control over. If you're concerned about Skynet taking over, you can just unplug it and then you're good.
Yep.
So because I'm sure that was
you get the power of there's other products out there like NAS products and stuff like that, but this one is just you take it out of the box, you plug in the hard drive, you plug in the Ethernet, you plug in the power, and you're pretty much done. It runs you through a quick setup to set up your account, and then you tell it what things you want to share. But, I mean, from that point forward, you're done. You know, there's no mucking around with complicated setup software or anything like that. It was designed, just like the Drobo, because it's from the same people, to just be a appliance, basically. You know, plug and play.
Yeah. And, you know, the cool thing about having your own personal cloud thing. So I think I have a terabyte drive in mine. So a terabyte transporter, you can actually get it preloaded with a drive, and that costs $300. And that's a one-time deal. You don't pay for extra service as you go. Dropbox, on the other hand, you can only go up to 500 gigabytes per year, and that'll cost you $500 a year on Dropbox to do the same thing for half the space. So it's also way more affordable. One of the things that I've always had difficulty with is sending giant files to other people, because when you're getting over, what is it, like 10 megabytes in email, something like that, you can't.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky. Usually it complains.
That's
when
if
it
you
gets,
have Gmail. If you have, you know, your ISP's email, you're probably capped at like two gigabytes or 2 megabytes maybe even. I mean, it's ridiculous sometimes how low it is with your internet service provider, your cable company or your DSL company or whatever.
And then so with Dropbox, you have to set up a shared folder and do that whole thing. And there are other services that do the cloud, here's a file, share it. But because this is, like I said, it's your own thing and you own it, you don't have to keep spending the money for a monthly or a yearly cost. And it actually is faster to transfer. If you're at home on the same network, just throw it on there, and then it's accessible for those people when they actually get around to it. And it has a lot of other Dropbox-like features. People have described it or compared it to Dropbox, but again, without having to pay the extra money for that. And being that it's on your own network, it's more secure and all that stuff. Like I said, it also has an iOS app where you can, I believe you can upload pretty much anything into the iOS app. But they do highlight the fact that you can upload photos and videos from your iOS device. And you can also access anything that's on your transporter through the iOS app and, you know, share it around, whether other apps on your iOS device or open them or what have you. Depending on what it is. So, and I believe you can also cache those files on there, right, Adam? You can download it to that app so you can get offline access and all that stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Do the whole open with thing and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. Tons of cool options for that. So, like I said, it's at, what's the URL they use? It's filetransporter.com. Filetransporter.com. One word, of course. And use the code WHC50. And the 50 stands for the $50 you get off, which is probably the best deal we've had for a sponsor on this show. So that's pretty great. So the zero gigabyte, zero terabyte drive it's not a drive, it's just the container. So the empty container, and you can throw whatever drive you want in there as long as it's a SATA laptop drive. It's $149, normally $200. And if you want the 1 terabyte, normally $300, you get it for $250, and the 2 terabyte they have is normally $400. You can get it for $350, and that is valid through November 11th. So if you're interested, check it out. Get on it. Use that code WHC50. Get $50 off. That's an awesome deal. So check them out. Filetransporter.com. We thank them for their support of We Have Communicators. And with that, we have more to move on to. Let's see. Ooh, did we talk about the accelerometer last show? I think we did, where in the 5S, the accelerometers weren't working properly in some of the...
There's a little more details on that this week, I think. Right. Mm-hmm. People have been digging in a little bit deeper.
Yeah, so essentially what has been discovered is in the past, Apple had been using one brand of accelerometer for the level, I should say. The level was producing results that didn't actually give you a level surface. So Apple, it turned out, had switched accelerometers for the 5S, I believe, not the 5C. I think it's just the S. And I think they might even be using the old brand in the S as well as the new brand in certain ones that are made. I think it just depends on which one they make at whichever factory. And what they've found is the zero G offset or bias is much wider on the Bosch accelerometer. So it's plus minus 95. I think it's, what is it? Milligrams? MG. I don't know if that's milligrams or not, but, and then on the original one, it was plus minus 20. So you get a plus minus 1 degree of accuracy on the old version, and you get a plus minus 5 degree on the new version. So that's where they're seeing
it. Shows.
It does.
It's surprising.
Is it?
Yeah. I can set my iPhone 5 on a surface and get one reading. On my 5S, it's consistently 3 degrees off from whatever the iPhone 5 says.
Wow.
And the problem is 3 degrees off from level, right? So
3 degrees off from level.
Yeah, so where it would be level, it's off. This is a big problem that Apple actually has to resolve, and it's actually causing, some issues with games too that rely on the tilt sensors and stuff like that.
Oh, I can
imagine. The one article I read, you said, you can kind of the short term way to overcome that is developers could build in or probably will have to build in a calibration step. So that they can figure out what the offset is and then adjust for it. But yeah. I mean, what a pain.
Yeah.
But you kind of have to go that route because you're going to have people with 5s and 5s's that are different.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say that Apple's going to have to deal with this because people are using their iPhones to build their houses.
Someone probably will.
They will. I mean, is definitely an issue. I mean, because people are using their iPhones to do that, and they're assuming that this thing is accurate.
Yeah, well, it's built in there. You would assume that it works. Yeah. So
it does work. It's just wrong.
Right. Yeah. So they're saying that this can be fixed in software, and hopefully it can be, and hopefully Apple can actually determine which sensor is in each phone, so they can change the offset
accordingly. Yeah.
So I would imagine that's something we'll see in the next software update.
I mean, again, at the very least, maybe the way they handle it is you have to go through in settings and sort of calibrate it for your device. Ugh. Zero it out on initial setup and then you're good to go.
That so doesn't sound like something Apple would want to do.
It's definitely not something they'd want to do, but I mean,
unless they're going to swap out a billion phones.
Right. Yeah.
That's pretty much what the option is.
Uh-huh. Or unless they can determine, like you're saying, that every single Bosch one is off by exactly the same amount. I mean, then they can definitely handle it in software. But if they've got, they often have different vendors. And do we know yet that every iPhone has this problem? Or is it only ones with Bosch sensors and they also have sensors from someone else?
I think it's models. A case of the sensor, specifically the sensors.
But I mean, does every 5S have the sensor? Because Apple uses multiple suppliers. They don't always use the same suppliers. They probably always use the same component, though, if they've done a deal, I would guess. But I don't know with all certainty. Because that was one of the things when Tim Cook was talking about, the rumor mill and you shouldn't always trust the supply chain.
Yeah.
For rumors. That was what he was alluding to is, you know, we don't just use one supplier for these things.
Right.
And I don't know with something as, you know, as sort of generic as a accelerometer. I'm sure there's lots of manufacturers of accelerometers, and if Apple needs a bunch of them and one particular supplier can't supply enough, I would think, though, they'd keep it within a specific model, always the same component. So,
do you think that they're going to put a barometer in the new iPhone?
Barometer?
No.
What are they have a bunch of weird sensors in the new. It's like the Galaxy S4, I think. They have a barometer and a...
What would you need a barometer for?
Well, to figure out what the atmospheric pressure is. To determine if you're in space or not.
No, they're not going to put a barometer.
I mean, you can use a barometer. Can't you? You can use a barometer to detect elevation, but with the sensors.
Yes, but you
that
have to know
it.
Yeah. Okay. So, barometer for detecting elevation is useful only if you know what the current air pressure is for a specific elevation at a given moment, because air pressure is always changing.
Well, and I was going to say, with the sensors that are already in there, you can obviously determine elevation anyway because you have a bunch of apps that do that.
Right.
So
can you?
It would seem redundant. Yeah. I mean, like the fitness apps can do elevation, can't they?
Well, they can. Steps and stuff. They can detect relative elevation, and stop elevation.
Yeah. The GPS navigation apps from companies like Magellan and Garmin.
Yeah, GPS can do that.
Those apps will tell you your current elevation, and they're using several different types of data to get that for you, because if you use just a GPS to determine your elevation, it will always be wrong, and that's built into the whole GPS system. As civilians, we're not allowed to have accurate elevation information from a GPS.
Yeah, so that's what I was just wondering. I mean, what else could barometer can tell you? Air pressure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's all the barometer does is tells you air pressure.
Yep.
So I guess it would know if you're outside a plane at 50,000 feet.
Yeah. Or, well, it can also, since it tells you air pressure, it can tell you change in air pressure. So it could let you know if the air pressure is dropping quickly or raising quickly wherever you are, so you know if a front is moving through.
Ah.
But if you're outside, you probably already know if a front is moving.
You just look up.
So it'd be useful maybe for weather apps. I don't know. And how many sensors do we need to get in these things?
We'll see. We'll see what happens with the iPhone 6. Then we'll know how many sensors we're allowed to have.
Apple sets the standard for how many sensors we're allowed to have.
Yeah, for buying iPhones, sure.
Right.
We're only allowed to have those. So speaking of the iPhone 5S, the improvements in shipping time are moving along. Now we're seeing 2 to 3 weeks to get one off the online store. But it's interesting to note that it seems to be even more difficult to find them in the stores still. For the in-store pickup thing. I guess you can do it. The way they do it now, I think, is a little bit different from when they did it last year. Because last year, I went to the store, the online store, and there was a time period, I think it was from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m., where they opened up the in-store pickup option. And so if you bought your phone within that period, you could check that box. And they did that. And actually, I think it might have been like 10 p.m. because they wanted to wait for the stores to close and tally up their inventory. And then they could publish that online. And then you could see which stores had something available. So then you could actually check and see, okay, yes, I can get this in store. I'm going to buy it now and go pick it up tomorrow. And that worked out really well. I was able to get my iPhone 5 still pretty early on in the whole mess of people trying to get the iPhones when they first came out. Now with this, correct me if I'm wrong, it's just you can do in-store pickup if you can jump on the store at the right time, any time of day, and actually luck upon
Yep, there's a 64 gigabyte AT&T 5S in gold available at the Apple store in Fashion Valley right now.
Ooh, get on that.
I could order it right now.
Yeah, so I guess it's still tough to get them. Except
they have them missing.
Pretty much.
They have one in Mission Viejo. They have one in Irvine.
Well, maybe
they're
not.
Where do you want to go?
Okay, well, let's go. Well, I'll hop in the car.
Road trip.
Mm-hmm.
What's your zip code, Michael? Maybe there's one near you.
61107.
Now we can use your credit card.
It's a big zip code. Yeah, I guess you could use my credit card, though.
Excellent social engineering there, Adam.
You screwed me. And
you're
going
to have to bleep that. Mark the time code.
I'm not marking anything.
Just your territory. You got a bunch. There's one in Chicago in Lincoln Park right now.
Lincoln Park? Oh, yeah. There they are. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm not getting one, though. So, yeah, do that if you want to get an iPhone. That's probably the best way to go about getting one pretty quickly if you can.
Seems like there's good availability in stores, and that's the gold one, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's the one everybody's looking for.
Gray.
You know, the more interesting story, though, I think, is the iPhone 5C and the fact that I think two or three shows ago, I believe it was Adam that specifically said, these things are going to sell like crazy. They're going to sell gangbusters. Yeah, I'm pinning you with that. But they, I guess they're not selling as well as we expected.
Or maybe they are.
Maybe they are. And so that's why I'm saying it that way. So essentially what's happening right now is Apple is lowering their current orders with their suppliers. Now, we don't really know. Okay, let me see here. Production, they're cutting their iPhone 5C production in half from 300,000 units to 150,000 units per day, which that's a buttload of phones. Let's be honest, but it's interesting because they have a lot. And the iPhone 5C or the 5S is selling a lot more. The trend seems to be that they're selling 2-to-1 iPhone 5S's over the 5C.
Yeah, and, but that makes sense.
Well, it's a little surprising, I think. And
I don't.
That's exactly what I would expect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it makes sense if you look at it from the perspective of the people who have been waiting to get an iPhone and who really want to get the top of the line thing. They run out.
Yeah, those are the people that rush out.
Right.
And yeah, those are the people buying right now. It's all the early adopters. The 5C, and I've said this, is going to be a slow roller. And if they ramped up production, you know, just in case the thing took off, then it makes sense that they'd start scaling back now. They probably have a lot in channel. They have plenty in inventory, and they can slow down their production roll a little bit until they start clearing them out. But they're going to still start clearing them out. And the other thing is I saw a funny report that said, oh, well, they're selling the same number that, you know, I was predicting. Well, they're selling about the same number of 5Cs as they were the 4S when the 5 was out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crud load of phones.
That's, yeah.
I mean, the 4S was one of the more popular models because it was the low-cost phone that everybody was buying. So if they've kept that, sale rate the same, that's still pretty dang good.
How many did Apple say they sold in the first weekend?
9 million.
Yeah, 9 million.
Phones total, but they didn't break it down. The assumption was it was about 50-50 or somewhere around there, but I never saw that confirmed.
It's probably like 60-40 or 70-30.
Yeah. That's what I would have guessed based on just being in line and seeing what... I mean, no one was there for a 5C. There were people walking in a few days later buying 5Cs, but no one was, you know, there day one, or I don't think it was a rush opening weekend to get a 5C.
Yeah,
I agree. And even on that opening weekend, while there was a line for 5Ss, if you walked up and said, I want to buy a 5C, they told you to walk on in.
They would walk you in, yeah. You didn't have to wait in line for that.
Now, what do you guys think about the fact that Target is now... let's see. They cut the price of the 5C to $50 and Walmart cut it down to $45.
I think that's exactly what Apple wanted. And I talked about this too, and a lot of people were saying, well, you're crazy. I said, no, I always felt that, because people were like, well, why isn't Apple doing, you know, they still need a free phone. And I maintained that the 5C will become the free phone. I said it would happen in 6 months. I think it might actually happen quicker than that. And the thing is, it's going to be the retailers and the carriers that are going to eat the difference. And we're seeing that already. I mean, that's what we're seeing. These guys are cutting. I guarantee you, Apple's not selling them the phones for less. You know, Apple's still getting whatever their deal is. So Apple doesn't, I don't think Apple really cares.
That's the big change right there. If Apple is okay with these retailers selling iPhones at $50 instead of $100, then that means that Apple has changed their long-standing policy of you don't discount these products like that.
Yeah, that is.
I don't think they always had that. Did they always have that policy for iPhones though? I know that's the case for their computers, and I know that's still the case for computers. I think. I mean, there's very little leeway. They occasionally let a retailer like Mac Mall sell it for like $5 less. You know, we've seen that, but it's usually within a $5 slot. But we had carriers discounting phones. I don't know if they talked to Apple about that when they said, "Oh, we're going to make this iPhone 4S free." Do we know that that was coordinated by Apple, or is that something that's coordinated by the carriers?
My guess is that's coordinated by the carriers.
Yeah, that's what I always thought too. I mean, and Walmart was selling both the 5S and the 5C on day one at a discount.
Which, of course, is what Walmart wants to do.
Right. I think you could get 10 bucks off of 5S and 20 or 30 bucks off of 5C on day one if you went to Walmart.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a nice deal, assuming they had what you wanted.
Right. And I don't know if that's still the case. I don't know if that was just an opening weekend deal. But didn't I also read Radio Shack is selling them at a discount too?
I think that's probably true. That sounds right.
Yeah, so there's competition among the retailers, I think, to get you in to buy your phone from them. So I think it's cool. I mean, I think now that, you know, maybe even before the end of the year, we'll see carriers offering 5Cs as the free phone. And I think Apple's totally fine with that because Apple's not taking the hit. It's Verizon or AT&T, who's ever T-Mobile competing for the business. Those guys are the ones who are, you know, taking the cut in their margin. Apple's going to get their margin regardless. So I don't think they really care. It sells more phones.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. So moving on to the iPhone 5S, have you guys noticed that that the apps are crashing a little bit more than they used to?
My yes. iPhone crashes.
Oh. Yep.
Yeah, like I can do all different kinds of things. There's no consistency. Like yesterday, I went to use burst mode for photos, and it crashed.
Yeah, it just happened to me when we were doing the show. I was trying to turning off the control center setting, and then I went to access it, and it blew up. I went to do a double tap, and it
and the next thing crashed. You know, you have a black screen and an Apple logo.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought about restoring my phone, but I don't know that it'll make a difference.
This iPhone 5S, I started with a fresh restore, and it was fine initially, but now it just seems very unstable.
Yeah, here's the deal though. It happens so darn fast that a couple times I've wondered, did it really just crash?
Yeah, the reboot is surprisingly fast. Yeah.
That's nice. I guess it's not an actual reboot. It's a
no. It goes to the. No, it is a reboot, but it doesn't feel like a reboot. It feels almost like an app crash in a relaunch because you see it go black. You see the white Apple logo, and then within maybe 10 or 15 seconds, I think I'm back.
You're
at the
back at the home screen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or oh, lock screen.
That's nice.
It's nice that it's quick, but holy crap.
Maybe it's a different kind of crash. Like it almost felt the first time it happened to me. I'm almost like, did it really crash, or was that like a mini crash? You know, like a half crash.
Yeah. A crashlet.
I think it was a crashlet.
But you see the Apple logo, so it's just like the old school one where, you know, it would crash to the Apple logo. It just happens. It happens to recover a lot quicker. Which is weird because the reason I call it almost like a mini crash is because if I actually do the you know, hold the sleep-wake button, a home button reset, that seems to take longer than these little crashes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I think it probably is a mini crash. I think it's like a springboard.
You know, yeah, maybe they're just relaunching the springboard to kind of clear things out. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
But it happens way more than I would like. I probably get it 2 or 3 times a week, maybe.
Yeah, me too.
Wow. You get apps crashing too?
Yeah.
I get apps crashing on a regular basis. I'm having a weird bug that showed up over the last few days where tapping the voicemail icon in the phone app won't take me to the voicemail screen.
Oh, that's handy.
And I have to quit the app, which of course auto launches again. And then I can typically get to my voicemail.
Yeah. What I don't know is this an iOS 7 problem or is it an iPhone 5S problem?
Well, it appears to, according to a study posted by or relayed by All Things D, it's definitely crashing more, and they say twice as often as an iPhone 5C and the iPhone 5. And honestly, I don't really notice that many. I've had I had one mini crash.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe just as many as before in terms of app crashes. So it hasn't really been an issue for me.
It's not even really an issue for me. It's a minor annoyance, and it does seem to be happening more frequently than with my 5. But, you know, what's weird about it, well, and maybe because it's somewhat hardware related, I was going to say, because when I was beta testing on my 5, iOS 7, it definitely wasn't like that. So, yeah, it probably is some software combo thing. Hopefully it's not a pure hardware thing. You know, hopefully it's not something with the new processor.
Oh, that would be bad.
Well, I think that's what people are suspecting, is that, that it has to do with the new processor, that the being that it's 64-bit, there are some nuances that haven't been worked out yet.
But you think it's stuff that can, are they thinking it's stuff that can be fixed in software? Or I'm thinking, you know, hopefully it's not a defect in the chip itself, like a hardware issue.
I would imagine.
I hope it's not that. That would be such a pain.
I would imagine it's probably a software fix. I mean, I hope it's a software fix. Then you gotta replace all those iPhones again for the accelerometer. Oh,
remember all those Intel chips that had that floating point problem?
Yep. Good times.
I don't remember that.
That's because you were drunk.
Just back in the Pentium days, you might not have even been born.
Oh, Pentium. You're not talking about Macs. You're talking about Windows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Intel had an issue where there was actually a defect in the chips.
It did math wrong.
Yep, it did math wrong. You don't want your processor.
Yeah, its only job is to do math, and it's doing it wrong then. Okay.
It was only in real specific situations. I mean, it was like big math. No.
Yeah,
but it was a problem.
Like the kind of math where you're
like
sending
scientists
spacecraft
and, yeah,
to
exactly.
planets.
Well, that's when you especially don't want your math to be wrong. Okay, so I have two things that just came out while we were talking about stuff. So first announcement is U.S. Cellular is going to start offering the iPhone 5S in the 5C November 8th. And you guys don't care about that because you don't have U.S. Cellular. But that's a big deal out here in the Midwest. So that's pretty cool. And I guess that means my girlfriend's going to get an iPhone because her parents pay for her U.S. Cellular bill. So maybe she'll get an iPhone. And on top of that, according to another thing via All Things D, an NPD display search analysis, they say that Apple is increasing the iPhone 5S production by 75% and cutting the iPhone 5C orders by 35%. So that's pretty on line with what we were thinking.
Yeah, but again, I think it's just because they ramped up production and they probably have enough of the 5C in channel to get them through the holiday season, whereas the 5S was already in short supply. I mean, they couldn't make enough to meet demand. So you know, they're just balancing things out. But I don't think you can read into that, i.e. sales of the 5C are bad or tanking. necessarily because of that.
Well, and, I wouldn't
and that's
say they're
where
tanking.
I think a lot of people are jumping to conclusions.
Yeah. Right.
Tanking would not be the right word.
Yeah.
For sure. So I guess Apple's Campus 2 that I thought should have been done by now, I must just be too giddy about this stuff.
When is it actually set to be done? No, realistically,
like
I don't think it's supposed to be done.
2018 or something like that?
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
Something crazy?
It was a huge project.
It was announced in what, 2011?
Well, they got to get all the, because they have to get all the approval. I mean, first they had to get what they got, what you're about to just mention, right?
Yeah, so they got their
that takes a long time.
Approval by the council, the city council in Cupertino to tear down the old HP campus and do their thing.
So it's taken this long since we started hearing about it till now, and we started hearing about it because they had to file papers with Cupertino, and they also had to get support of the public in Cupertino. Right. So they had launched their campaign. That's why we knew about it, and that's why we heard about it so early. So it took them just this long even to get the city council approval.
Yikes.
Yeah. City councils are not known for moving quickly. City councils are not known for doing things that help the economy in a positive way quickly.
Especially in California, too. They like to move real slow. But yeah, in 2000...
You got to do environmental impacts. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that has to happen, too.
And you have to have debates, and your city council members will postpone the debates, and...
You have to send out, you know, bribe checks.
Yep, lots of bribe checks. So it was announced on June 7th, 2011. And I'm not seeing... I'm reading the Wikipedia article, and I... Okay, mid-2016, they're going to be have it open. Originally expected to break ground in 2013 and open 2015. They're expecting the groundbreaking next year. And like I said, opening mid-2016. So...
Yeah, the bummer is the public's not going to be able to see it other than from the outside.
Yeah, because it's totally covered by trees.
Like, oh, and also they're not going to have the company store and any of that fun stuff.
Yeah, no company store. That sucks. Looks like they're going to have a giant outdoor swimming pool in the center, though. Or maybe that's the engine. That's the warp drive in the center. Has to be liquid cooled.
Right.
So, yeah, there's that. I guess Apple has a new head of retail, right?
Burberry.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, Angela.
Angela Ahrens.
What are we calling her? Mrs. Burberry?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I guess we are. So, yeah.
How do you pronounce her last name, Jeff?
Ahrens.
Ahrens.
Okay. Ahrens. Okay.
That's how I've been hearing it pronounced.
So, yeah, she was the CEO of Burberry, and now she's...
I guess that's how they got all those iPhones for their photo fashion shoot, right?
That would make sense.
Did they have, like, someone with a jacket made out of iPhones or something?
No. Every year they do a big fashion runway show, and this year the entire thing was covered. All the video that was shot with iPhone 5Ss before... The iPhone 5S was released.
Oh.
And they used the slow-mo mode and all that fun stuff for the videos. So Apple made a big deal about it at the announcement event that they were going to be shooting the entire thing on iPhones.
That's cool.
But obviously, there was some sort of relationship between Burberry and Apple.
Yeah, I guess she was
hired.
I think she was hired in the summer, I believe.
Oh, okay. So she's been on staff.
No.
No.
She
I haven't read the article yet. So
okay, so obviously. Tim Cook started talking with her back in January. And so they've just recently decided that they're going to hire her. She does not start until next spring.
Ah,
and that's
okay.
Because she is managing the transition out for herself and in for the new CEO, who is, I forgot what his title currently is, but he's like the chief communications officer or something like that. And he's taking over as CEO.
Apple certainly seems to be hiring a lot of fashion conscious folks.
Yeah. I noticed that
lately. whatever you want to read into that. But yeah, I just hope this means that since they're not having a company store anymore, and she comes from that sort of fashion apparel world, that maybe we'll finally get one or two like apparel items at our Apple stores.
Well, do they still sell the socks?
No.
The nano socks?
No.
I guess you could put those on a baby, maybe.
Or really, really fat fingers.
can you just imagine how many t-shirts? Maybe that's what they don't want to deal with. But if they just even had one t-shirt, you could buy it at an Apple store.
Well, you can buy them at the company store. So,
but that's
again,
going away.
They're not going to have a company store.
Wait, they're actually getting rid of it?
Yeah.
I thought they were just not putting it in the campus too. They're actually getting rid of it.
I don't think they're having a company store when the new campus thing is out. That's my understanding.
Why would they? I don't know why they would close it down.
They don't want people hanging around their campus, their shiny new campus.
No, I'm talking about the old campus. They keep it in the old campus.
Aren't they getting rid of the old campus?
No.
Oh, well, then maybe it is sticking around.
Yeah, they're totally keeping the old campus.
Wow. What? So is that where you go if you're a bad employee?
Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to send you to the old icky campus.
The old icky campus.
Oh, man. What happened to Bill? Campus what?
80s oh campus.
80s campus. Yeah, that's going to be the new Siberia.
And then if you're really, really bad, you go to Texaco Towers.
Ooh, man.
Where's that?
You got to bone up on your Apple history. I'll just leave it at that.
It sounds familiar. You're not going to explain it to me or the listeners?
No.
Okay. All right. Then I guess we're moving on to...
It was where they did development for early Apple stuff. I think it was next to a Texaco station, is that, if I'm remembering my history right?
Yeah. It was
so
next
they called
to...
them Texaco Towers.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. It was just like a couple offices in a strip mall sort of thing. Fair or enough. In an industrial office complex.
Yeah. Okay. So with that, we're wrapping it up here. But before we get out of here, we're going to talk about our iDevice picks. And Adam, what do you have this week?
Oh, I am picking, and I can't even, well, technically use this app. This was, because it's designed specifically for iPhone 5C owners, but it makes me want to go buy an iPhone 5C.
Oh.
And it's this app that came out. It's called Flipcase. And the reason it's called Flipcase is, you know...
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yeah, the case that comes with the... Or that you can get for your iPhone 5C with the little holes in the back. Got the little grid of holes.
Yeah.
Somebody went, oh, that little grid of holes kind of looks like a Kinect 4 board.
Oh, cool.
And so what you do is you get this app for free... And you take the case off your phone, you flip it around, and you put it over the screen so that you have the little holes there.
Uh-huh.
And then it makes it a little Kinect 4 game. So you tap the different row, and it drops in a little colored chip into your row. And it's really simple. You can do one or two player, but that's all it does. But it's just like a really cool, like somebody was just thinking, like, hey, this is cool. Just flip this around, and now you've got a little Kinect 4 game.
I love
the little
that.
Physical element to it.
So
and it's totally free.
So it'll work without the flip case, right? Or without the without the case. So I can
You can try the app, but I mean it doesn't, you just got little, you don't know where to tap because you don't have
the grid that comes with the case.
Right. So you can kind of play around with it and see how it might work. And I would imagine, too, if you had an iPhone 5 or 5S, that the case is close enough inside. If you wanted to buy a case and throw it over the top of your 5S, it probably would line up and work. Because I think the only difference is thickness. I think the 5S is a little bit thinner. Might not fit as snugly, but it would probably work.
Or you can get crafty and make one out of duct tape.
Paper.
Yeah.
Well, that's clever.
But I mean, the fun part of it is I mean, this is a clever use of, you know, the physical case along with an app. And I have to wonder too, if there aren't some case manufacturers that might clue in on this concept and play around with some different ideas about, you know, different kinds of cases that work with a physical kind of game.
I like that the UI
is digital kind of game.
The UI is actually like done for even the menus is set up to accommodate the holes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's really it's just a clever idea, and it's so I wanted to let people know about it because I saw it on a couple blogs this week, and I'm like, oh, that's really cool. Someone was thinking.
Yeah.
So flip case free.
Cool. I like it. I'm playing it right now.
Except it really costs $199 because you need a plus the case, which
plus
is
the case. $29.
Yeah. So
it's $130 plus $200. Tax.
$199 plus $29.
$230.
Yeah, $230. Yeah. Same price as an iPad mini.
It's worth it. Okay,
that's my pick.
I gotta stop playing. So it's flip case and it's free. So Jeff, what's your pick this week?
All right, so Adam went with an iPhone 5C only pick. I will go with an iPhone 5S only pick. Uh-huh. And mine is a free app called True Slow-Mo, TRUSLOMO, all one word.
Good one.
And what True Slow-Mo does is it lets you take those slow motion videos that you capture on your iPhone 5S, and then it converts them into actual slow motion video so that when you export to, say, your Mac, you still have the slow motion effect. Because what normally happens is you export and you have this video that is not running in slow motion. And so you have to drop it into GarageBand or no, what's the iMovie? Drop it into iMovie.
On the Mac.
And then tell iMovie, play this at 25% speed and now it's correct again. And with this app, you don't have to do that.
Oh.
Yeah. It's awesome. My only complaint, and I emailed the developer to get a little more details, is that it does not honor the in and out point. So if you have an iPhone 5S and you've used the slow-mo feature, you get this sort of extra timeline where you can set where you want to start the slow motion effect and where you want to end the slow motion effect. You can pull the end points. Unfortunately, the app can't pick those up because they're not made available. It does the default. So when you first shoot a 120 frame video, Apple sets a default at like a second in and a second before I don't know what the time point is. It feels like it's about a second, 1 second in on either side. So it'll just apply the slow-mo effect across the clip from those points. So if you are wanting to use it, the recommendation is, you know, make sure that you give yourself a little buffer on the front and back before you want your slow motion effect to kick in. That makes sense.
That kind of sucks.
And unfortunately, the developer's looking into it, but at the moment, it doesn't look like that data, that metadata is made available when he pulls the clip in. So he can't really do anything about it.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. Well, that's an Apple thing.
Yep. They like to do that.
Still an awesome app, because if you want to use that slow-mo effect on your phone, you know, it's the only way you can do it, at least until hopefully they add an update to at least iMovie on the iPhone so that you can take advantage of that at some point. But who knows?
We can hope.
I'm sure they will. So, yeah,
that's free too, right, Jeff?
Yep.
True Slow-Mo.
TRUSLOMO, one word.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Adam, you had a pick for just the 5C. Jeff, mm-hmm. you had a pick for just the 5S, and I will do one just for my Android phone. Wait, no.
Awesome.
No, that's not right. Oregon Trail, O-R-G-A-N, as in organs that you have inside your body. Oregon Trail.
You picked this one before?
Yeah, I picked it probably a year ago.
Some cool updates?
No, it's just time to play Oregon Trail again.
Oh, because it's Halloween.
Yeah, it's spooky time. And so if you don't know what Oregon Trail is, it's like Oregon Trail. And essentially you need to get away from the crazy, horrible epidemic of the zombie apocalypse, and you start at one end of the country and you need to make your way over to the other end of the country in your station wagon and your group of people.
Wait, which part of the country is zombie free?
The West Coast, of course.
Of course.
just like
in zombies out here,
just like an Oregon Trail. No, I think it's just true to the history of the game, where you were trying to go west in
right,
Oregon
and zombie
trail.
Infestations typically start on the East Coast anyhow,
obviously. Yeah.
Okay.
so yeah, you hop in your station wagon and you can get cholera and what's the other famous disease that you can get?
Dysentery.
Dysentery. Yeah, you can definitely get dysentery for sure.
Otherwise known as the shits.
So it's two S.
What a way to die.
Yeah, just pooping your insides out. Yeah, and you can break your arm and go hunting for zombies, and you can pick up your... I don't know if it's Halloween candy all year around, but... it's definitely Halloween candy is your food. So you pick up like giant jack-o'-lanterns filled with candy is food. And yeah, it's lots of fun. I don't know if I explained it well enough to make it enticing, but it's a super, super cool game. And I don't play a lot of games. This is one that you can pick up and play in spurts. And it's only
bad choice
$3.
Of words with dysentery, but continue.
You pointed it out.
It's because I'm 12
and I appreciate it. So it, like I said, $3 and you get hours and hours and hours of fun. Literally.
Hours. I love the retro graphics.
The retro graphics are so awesome. So I forgot to mention that the graphics are based on Apple II graphics, and all the sound is that way too. It's just a very well made game. So yeah, check it out. It's $3. Oregon Trail, two words. So with that,
can I make a request for a review? I want a listener to send me a review. I'm dying to play. It would have been my pick, except it only came out apparently in Australia and in the UK right now. But Tiny Death Star.
Oh yeah, I want to get to play Tiny Death Star.
So. Any listeners in the UK or if you've tried it out, I want to know about it.
Yeah, let us know. Feedback at wehavecommunicators.com. That's the address. Send it.
What I really want is to be able to buy it in the App Store, but it's not there yet.
Well, you can just switch your account over.
I know, that's what people are doing. It's like Doctor Who all over again.
Oh, could you?
Yes, it is.
Could you not buy Doctor Who here?
For a while we had this thing where it was weeks before we get episodes, and yeah.
Well, that's dumb.
I agree.
Sorry. You can close out the show now.
It actually looks pretty cool. I might need to get into that Tiny Death Star. Anyway, so with that, the show notes and the iPhone picks are at wehavecommunicators.com. You can review us in the iTunes store, and we totally love that because it helps us go up in the rankings. So if you've been listening for a while and you haven't reviewed the show, just go in there, give us a little rating, just a couple words, maybe nice words. We appreciate that. You can also call us 202-642-6667 for feedback and questions, whatnot. Feedback at wehavecommunicators.com is the email address. Advertising, of course, is handled by Backbeat Media. Backbeatmedia.com, and check out the transporter code WHC50 for $50 off through November 11th. And Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, MacObserver.com, at Jay Gamet on Twitter. Adam Christensen is at the MacCast, MacCast.com, and at MacCast on Twitter as well.
Yep.
And the member.maccast.com is the URL for the member version of the show.
Yes, sir.
Anything fancy there?
Everything's fancy with us.
Yeah.
No, but I'm working on around this time every year, since we know Mavericks is coming out, the next episode should be about prepping your Mac for Mavericks and getting ready. So
That's good.
Yep.
Maybe I should do a clean install on my Mac. I haven't done that in years. I just don't like the time. It takes a lot of time.
It does take a lot of time.
I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter, and also check out Appler, getappler.com, getappler.com. There's the mobile version, so you can do it on your telephone and your iPads and your Macs and your PCs and all that stuff, and find the cool apps that we use. And like, so yeah. Oh, I should mention, I got my iPhone 5 replaced because I had, a weird buildup of crap behind my camera lens. So it was getting in my pictures, and they replaced it for me. And it turns out that's the only way you can truly get the Apple apps for free. The iPhoto and iMovie and what else?
Maybe with a new device?
Yeah, so it's a you can only get it with a new device thing. And
now,
and
if you've already bought the stuff,
yeah,
you don't get extra copies.
They no money comes out of your phone.
Oh, I need to find the slot because money should have come out of my phone.
Yeah, yeah, right. You should I'll maybe call head. Apple. It might be jammed. So yeah,
yeah.
With that, we'll see you next time. On We Have Communicators.
An iPod. An iPod. Internet. How are we going to communicate this? With a stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus.